John chapter number 6, we read a story about a miracle that Jesus performed, the feeding of the 5,000. Let's all stand. We'll begin reading at the verse number 1, John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Heavenly Father, there's a wonderful lesson that you, Lord, are going to teach us. Many lessons, Lord, from your Son in this matter of thankfulness. And Jesus, you came not just to die on the cross, Lord, but you come down to teach us how to live while we are on this earth. And so may we learn at your feet this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. There are a handful of things that I want to say so many times that long after I'm dead, the young people that grew up in this ministry will say, "You know what Brother Jerry used to say, you know what Brother Jerry Ross used to say," and that they would quote some things and know some things. And one of those things that I've said so often that I think most of our people know what I'm going to say before I say it is this: the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. Now, I always say, if that's not the ultimate goal, then you open your King James Bible and come talk to me and show me what this whole thing's about. Because if it's not about that, I'm not sure what it's about. We ought to want to strive to be like Jesus. I'm not trying to make disciples unto Jerry Ross. I'm trying to make disciples unto Jesus Christ. I do ask you to follow me as I follow Christ. Because you know what? The Bible gives me that right in the position of as your pastor, but I would certainly not want anybody to follow me into to any area or arena that would be unchristlike. Ultimately, we must turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and that ought to be our goal. Now, folks, listen, it's one thing to say that, it's one thing to say amen to it, but if we're going to spend our life trying to become like Jesus Christ, then we need to constantly be studying the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a great day in my young Christian life when I decided that this whole thing was about becoming like Jesus. And folks, listen to me. I began to spend most of my Bible study time for several years in the Gospels. Now, I did not neglect the rest of the Bible. My major emphasis for years of study was in the Gospels. I love walking with Jesus. I tell people, make yourself the 13th disciple and just start in Matthew and then Mark, then Luke, then John. And then if you want to, go ahead and start over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then go ahead and start over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because how in the world are we going to become like him if we never study him? And I'm talking about slow it down. I'm talking about when he said something, you ought to ask yourself, why did he say that? Who was he talking to? What did he mean by that? And you know what? You'd be surprised how much you can learn just by studying the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've written a book on the childhood years of Jesus Christ. I've written a book on the teenage years of Jesus Christ. I've got a book that I haven't published yet that's done entitled The Private and Public Prayer Life of Jesus Christ. This my own personal study. I don't know if I'll ever publish it into a book or not. I've got another one on the preaching and teaching styles of Jesus Christ. Boy, I wish everybody would read that. That stands behind a pulpit and understands that, you know what? You know, watch this, folks. If the only reason Jesus came was to die, he could have floated down on a glory cloud and walked right up on top of Mount Calvary, Golgotha's hill, and done it. But you know what? He didn't just come to die for our sins. He came to show us how to live while we're here. And one of the things that we can learn from Jesus is in this matter of thankfulness. Because you know what? What he did for an example to show us how to live. Now, who are you trying to become like? Who's your hero? Are you just watching the culture and whatever the culture is? I mean, come on, young people. If you were to be honest, who are you following? Who's got your heart? Who's got your eye? What celebrity are you looking up? Which person from Hollywood do you idolize? Which athlete do you talk about all the time? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like thee. And you know what, folks? We got to get our eyes back on where it ought to be, and that's to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to study this because Jesus, in his time on earth, teaches us both through word and example a lot about this matter of thankfulness. And so we're going to begin here with something that's very simple, but I don't know, sometimes the simple things seem to be the things that people are forgetting. Let's get back to the basics, amen? Number one, we ought to pause and give thanks for our food. I'm talking about stopping and asking the Lord's blessing before we eat. In John chapter number 6, this is interesting, in verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. It's interesting, if you look at verse 22 and 23, let's read that. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there were none other boat there save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, comma, after that the Lord had what? Isn't that interesting that over here in the parentheses we're reminded, hey, you know what? They ate bread here, but only after the Lord gave thanks. Jesus' example in verse number 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, all you young people look up here, I'm going to teach you something, and if you're not doing it, if you want to be like Jesus, you need to start doing it. And that's this, the Son of God, I mean God the Son, did not break bread and partake of it and didn't allow others to partake of it until he had stopped and given thanks to the Father. And you know what, folks? There's a lesson to be learned here. And, of course, this is found in Matthew 15, 36. And he took the 7 loaves and fishes and gave thanks. Mark 8, 6, and he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and break and gave to his disciples. And then the 2 verses in John. And you know what we read is that Jesus has set an example for us. Now think about this. Boy, if every Christian, everybody that claims to be saved, would, before we eat, simply bow our head and give thanks, you know what? That would ensure that most of us are giving thanks to the Lord at least 3 times a day. And some Americans 4 times a day and 5 times a day. But give thanks. I mean, you know what? Everything Jesus did, he did for a reason. If you're going to stop and partake of food, then you ought to stop the same number of times and thank the Father for it. Now that means if you're in the public, oh preacher, you don't understand, I go to the public school and I take my lunch and I'm sitting right there in a cafeteria full of kids and you want me to stop and bow my head and pray before I eat? Yes! But they told me that's against the rule. They lied to you. Well, I'll go to the principal's office. You ask the principal to give you your one phone call and you call Pastor Jerry Roth. And I'll make my one phone call to David Gibbs and the CLA, and we'll have a meeting with your principal. You have every right in a public school to bow your head and thank the Lord for your food. Every right to do it. Not only that, you have a biblical responsibility. The day comes when you're going to get kicked out of school for praying, then you ought to be willing to get kicked out of school. Because there's, listen, let God be true and every man a liar. It's better to obey God than man. I'm talking about doing a decent thing. You know, there's a story, and I've told it to you before, but laugh like you never heard it before, all right? Not yet. Wait till I get to the punchline. But there's 2 businessmen in a small town cafe, and they're in there eating, and very successful businessmen in their suits, and it's lunchtime, and then here's a poor farmer, and he walks in. Why are farmers always poor? Poor farmer always walks in and kind of dusts himself off, worn out overalls. Got his John Deere hat, sets it down on the stool beside him, orders a simple bowl of soup. And they're over there cutting up, kind of making fun of him. And the farmer gets his soup and his crackers and his piece of bread, and he bows his head and begins to pray. And they think that's hilarious. These guys are lost. They're heathen. They don't go to church. So after he gets done praying, one of them says, "Farmer, everybody out on the farm, is everybody out on the farm? Do they all bow their heads and pray before they eat?" And he looked over and said, "No, sir, the pigs don't." Amen. Amen. Listen, the next time you sit down and eat without praying, I hope two words come to mind. Oink, oink. Because you and the pigs got something in common, all right? Shame on. Hey, we're not pigs. We've been made by our Creator. I mean, even if you weren't even saved, a lost man ought to have enough decency. A lost man ought to have enough decency to be thankful for the Creator of the universe for putting food on this planet that he can eat. But we ought to give thanks to our Father. We ought to give thanks to our Father. First of all, we're taught that we should pray for our daily bread. Hey, let's be reminded of that. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What's the next phrase? Give us this day our daily bread. And you know what? The reason Jesus shared that prayer was in response to a question the disciples asked him. And here was the question. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. So what he was giving us was a lesson on prayer. And you know one of the things he said that we ought to always do, and that's give us this day our daily bread. So in the morning when you get up, if you pray and ask God to give you your daily bread, then you've got a reason to thank the Lord for giving it to you when you sit down. Well, I don't need to pray, by the way. I don't need to pray and ask God for my daily bread. I got a refrigerator full and a freezer full. And let me tell you something. You go ahead and take that attitude. You know what? That refrigerator and freezer can be emptied before you know it. And I'm going to tell you something. Americans for years have been blessed by the Lord. And we live in a bread. Listen, folks, we eat so good. We eat so good. And God takes such good care of us. And there really are people, and I'm talking about little children all over this planet, and they'll pillow their head tonight and they'll cry themselves to sleep out of hunger. And we are so pagan and so heathen in this God-blessed land that we don't have enough decency to bow our head and say, thank you for this food. And so the Lord gave us this example. You know what? We should make sure that we take time before we eat to bow our heads and thank the Lord for our food. Number two, let me have you go to Luke chapter number 22. We're going to move around a little bit. I want to show you what I learned from Jesus in this matter of thankfulness. What Jesus taught us about thankfulness. Number one, we ought to pause and give thanks for our food. Number two, Luke chapter 22, we ought to pause and give thanks for Christ's suffering and death on the cross. Luke chapter 22, if you'll look in verse number 14, Luke 22, 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For this I say unto you, I will not eat any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and, what's the next two words? Gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. And I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Verse 19, and he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood, which is shed for you. What is this, preacher? This is Jesus instituting something we call the Lord's Supper. And you know what? On a Sunday night, every other month, bi-monthly, at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we stop everything we're doing. We begin the service by observing the Lord's Supper because Jesus said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And you know why we do that? Because there ought to be a time where we stop from time to time and we pause. I mean, everything else gets pushed out of our minds and everything else gets pushed out of our thoughts. And you know what we're here to do? We're here to pass out a little piece of bread. And you know what that's for? Hey, listen, it's not supper time. This isn't prayer before a meal. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul had to deal with that very problem in the church of Corinth, that the so-called Lord's Supper had turned into a pitch-in dinner and gluttony, and it lost its meaning. And that's not what Jesus is talking about. And Paul had to hit a reset button and straighten out that carnal church in another one of their carnal areas. And said, that's not what this is about. They have one little piece of bread. And you know what? The Bible says Jesus broke it. And then he gave thanks. And then he said, this do in remembrance of me. Give thanks for what? That bread is a picture of his broken body. His broken body. You know what he said? He said, here's something I learned about thankfulness for Jesus. Is, you know what? One of the last things he asked his disciples to do is I'm going to institute something here called the Lord's Supper, and what I need you to do is, as oft as you will, as oft as you do, then you know what? You should stop everything you're doing, and you should be pass out the bread, and you should break it, and you should remember my broken body, and then I'm going to pass out the juice. And by the way, before you pass out the bread, you give thanks. Before you pass out the juice, you give thanks. That's why we have four deacons sitting up here, and they come up. And you know what? I don't just say, go ahead and pass out the bread. I call on one of them, and I said, would you give thanks? And you know what? They're not praying. Oh, this is not the prayer over a meal that we're about to eat. This is a prayer of thanksgiving for what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. He broke the bread. He passed around the cup. He said, this do in remembrance of me. And you know what? He said, before you do it, you stop and give thanks. You stop and give thanks. And I'm going to preach a whole message and teach on this, but if you don't come to Sunday night at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I mean, if you don't, you don't. But one of the things you miss out on, because we do this on Sunday night, is every other month we observe the Lord's Supper. And by the way, that is important. It's important. Well, why don't you just do it on Sunday morning? I got a better question. Why don't you just come Sunday night? Because you know what? If church attendance is any more important to you than just coming Sunday morning, then I don't imagine this would probably be very important to you either. How about that? And this is for a serious, listen, this isn't games. This is for a serious time for serious Christians. This do in remembrance of me. And so the church family comes back. And you know what we do? We thank God for his broken, we thank Jesus for his broken body. We thank Jesus, thankfulness. I'm talking about thankfulness. Jesus, watch this. If you ever start losing your thankfulness for what Jesus did for you on Calvary, I think it was Bob Jones Sr. that said, you are well nigh gone. Okay? He allowed his body to be broken for you. And you're complaining about what? That he's wanting you to do? Or what standards you don't like? Or what Bible commands you don't want to follow? He shed his blood for the remission of Jerry Ross's sins and your sins. And you know what? He ought to, watch this, he ought to be thanked for that. Hey, stop everything, church. I mean, it's not talking time. It's not singing time, it's not piano playing time. You know what it is? It's thankfulness time. It's remembering time. Let's focus on that. You say, preacher, when we are doing this, you know, it takes time for the men, then once we pray and we thank the Lord, and then they begin to distribute the bread, and then after that, the cup. And what do you spend that time doing? Well, you know, what I do is I spend some time. I'll tell you exactly what I do. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. You know the portion of scripture I read before we pass out the bread. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, there it is again, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Most of the time, listen, I'm just going to tell you the way Jerry Ross is, and maybe you're a lot more disciplined than I am, but folks, most of us have a lot on our mind. And you know what? It's not a long time that we spend in our communion service, but I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's hard for me to harness my mind and really keep it where it ought to be. And I don't want to take the communion, the Bible says, unworthily, in an unworthy manner. I want it to be for what it's supposed to be. By the way, young people, that's why it's not cut-up time during communion service and note-passing time. Or I've even got adults now. And God pity your pathetic heart. Sit back there playing around on your phone. I'm talking about that's as wicked as hell. Playing around on your phone. Say, preacher, what do you do? I usually just head over to the Gospels while they're passing it out. And I'll go, hey, if you go back to the last couple chapters of any of the Gospels, you're there at Calvary. And so I know Jerry Ross, and I'll go over sometimes to Luke or Mark chapter 15, and I'll read this. And the soldiers led him away into a hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed, did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on and led him out to crucify him. Verse 24, when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them. What are you doing? I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm remembering. And every single time I read that, and they put the crown of thorns on his head, I think he did that for me. And they spit on him. He did that for me. And they beat him, smote him on the head with a reed. That was for me. And they bowed their knee and they mocked him. That was for me. I mean, I don't know what y'all are doing. I think everybody in here is probably doing what they ought to be doing. You know what? It's not a time for me to examine you. It's a time for me to examine me. But let me just say this. 1,000 times, lifting up from the auditorium during our communion service ought to be thank you, 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 thank you. You know, listen, I want to help you with something. Anytime, and again, you got to know you, I got to know me. If I feel like there's a coldness creeping into my heart, if there's just a callousness towards the things of God, if I'm not as warm in my heart towards the Lord as I ought to be, let me tell you something. There's hardly anything wrong with you that can't be fixed at Calvary. Okay, take any excuse you want to about backsliding and just go to the last couple chapters of every gospel and just go ahead and talk to the Lord on the cross about it. Why you don't want to serve God, why you want to quit your Sunday school class or your bus route, or why life's so unfair to you, or why you can't forgive somebody. I mean, don't tell me about it. Just trot on up to Golgotha's hill and let him. Listen, I'm not talking about just going to Calvary to get saved. I'm talking about Calvary to stay clean and right. Because I'm going to tell you, there's something that Jesus did on Calvary. Jesus did something on Calvary's cross for me that I was undeserving of. He did something on Calvary's cross for me that I can't say thank you enough times for. So you know what, folks? I learned something from Jesus. He said this. He sent out in the upper room. He gathered them together. And he said, let me tell you something. After I'm gone off this place, he said, as often as you will, I want you to gather together. And I want you to do exactly what we're doing. And I want you to take this bread because I want your mind to go back to what I'm about to do. And I want you to take this cup. And I want your mind, you know, folks, you don't have to do everything I do. And I don't do the same thing every time. Sometimes I'll be holding that cup up there. And I know it's just grape juice. And that's what it's supposed to be, by the way. You know. And I'll just put my finger in it sometimes when I'm reading the scripture, and I'll look at just a little drop of grape juice on my finger, and I'll try to imagine Jesus. Listen, folks, the Bible said he was beat beyond human recognition. His visage was so marred they didn't even know he was a person. He was like a ground up piece of meat hanging on that cross in his nakedness. And you know what? He suffered that shame so that I could go to heaven and so you could go to heaven. And why aren't you going to come to church anymore? And you've got life just so tough and all the things, you're just going to quit on God and quit on everything. What in the world's wrong with those? And what I'm saying is, you know what, trot on up to Calvary and do some thanking. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's what we're learning. It's what Jesus taught us about thankfulness. That we ought to pause and give thanks for our food. And as a church body, corporatively, we ought to pause and give thanks for the suffering, that Christ's death and suffering, suffering and death on the cross of Calvary. But let me say this, that shouldn't just happen a couple times a month corporately. I think we ought to make a time of worship on a regular basis within our own heart and our own devotional life and just thank the Lord and thank the Lord and thank the Lord and thank the Lord. I'm going to help some of you right now if you'll let me. So, preacher, you know, by the way, know yourself, okay? I got to keep me where I need to be. You got to keep you where you need to be. Preacher, I'm just not as on fire, and I am battling some things, and I feel like I'm not where I need to be for the Lord. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Tomorrow morning, go to the end of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and read about what Jesus did for you. And Tuesday morning, go again. And Wednesday morning, go again. And Thursday morning, Thanksgiving Day would be a good day. Go there one more time. And go there until something happens. Now, I don't have time to preach this, but if you looked at the life of everybody that congregated around that cross. Everybody was changed and everybody was touched and nobody left the same. And if you'll go up there, you won't leave the same either. All right, so let's just, that's what I learned. I've got to go on to the next one. John chapter 11. Let's go there next. John chapter 11. What Jesus taught us about thankfulness. He taught us to pause and give thanks for our food. He taught us that we ought to pause and give thanks for Christ's suffering and death on the cross. And then in John chapter number 11, if you're there, we ought to be thankful that God hears our prayers. Now, this is one of those interesting interactions between God the Son and God the Father, and I think that that fellowship was constant. I think it's supported by this scripture. I think it was regular. I think it was constant. But I want to say this, that one of the things that Jesus shared with us was the fact that he was thankful to God. Look at John chapter 11, verse number 41. John 11, 41. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, here it is, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. By the way, notice why he said that out loud. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. You know what? He wasn't vocalizing that for his sake or the Father's sake. He was vocalizing it so that we could learn something. And what he was saying is this, you know what? I'm thankful that you always hear my prayer. One of the things that we ought to go into this week being thankful for is that God hears our prayers. Think about that. He hears our prayers. If you have ever on a Wednesday night, the years that my dad was here and pastored the church, or later on when he was pastor emeritus, if you were ever here on a Wednesday night and we had our prayer time at the end of the service, do you ever pray for my dad? I would say that I've never done this, and probably most of you have never prayed with my dad, where, especially in his latter years, where he didn't start out his prayer almost exactly the same. And he would kneel up here and he would say, before he asked God for anything or brought one petition before the Lord, you know what he'd do? He'd say, Lord, dear Heavenly Father, thank you that because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the right, we have the opportunity and privilege to come to you. Thank you for inviting us. Thank you for wanting to hear our prayer. And you know what? Dad wanted God to know that he knew that the only reason that he had any access to God's throne was because of what Jesus Christ had done on Calvary's cross. Now, we ought to be thankful that God hears our prayers. How about that? God hears our prayers. Hebrews chapter 4, if you want to turn over there, I think this is worth looking at. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14. I want to explain to you that are new Christians why God hears your prayers. Why we have access to the throne of grace. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14, Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now let me just teach you something. Stay with me here. This is important. Seeing then we have a great high priest which is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And folks, listen to me. Watch this. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it talks about there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. What a Hebrews is talking here is back in Old Testament times, if somebody wanted to take a petition, bring it before God, they had to go to the high priest. And the high priest, first of all, would have to make a sin offering sacrifice for his own sin. And then he would have to make a sin blood offering for blood sacrifice for that person's sin. And after he made a blood sacrifice, an offering and sacrifice for his sin, the high priest's sin, and the one who wanted the petition, then he could take the petition from him and go in his stead into the Holy of Holies and present it before God. But guess what? We don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to come to Jerry Ross and say, "Preacher, here's something I need from God. I can't go into the presence of God." Listen, if you're a born-again Christian, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you, it's not taught in every church. Okay, you heard the story about the lady that was in the hospital and she was dying, and here comes the chaplain from the hospital, and this chaplain was a Catholic priest, and he walked in and he said, "Ma'am, is there anything that you'd like me to pray for you about? Is there any sins that you would want me to absolve?" How about that? What arrogancy. And she said, "Sir, what did you say? Is there any sins that you would want me to absolve? Anything you would like me to pray to God about?" And she said, "Could I see your hands?" He said, "Excuse me, can I see your hands?" He held out his hands like this. And she said, "Sir, I don't see any nail print in those hands. So you can't absolve any of my sins, and there's no need for you to try to go before God for me. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Now, folks, listen to me. You know what? There's a lot of things we need to be thankful for and should be thankful for, but maybe we ought to just say this: "Lord, thank you for just making a way for me to get right to God. And God, thank you for hearing my prayers." You know, Jesus prayed that prayer on purpose to teach us something about thankfulness. And before he asked the Lord for anything, he said this: "First of all, let me just say thank you that I have, that you hear my prayer, that I'm able to come to you." And if you're here and you're born again Christian, you can go right to the throne of grace. Listen, I say this often: I will be glad to pray with you about something, but I am not going to pray for you about something. Now, I mean that, church, listen to me. If you bring something you want me to pray with you about it, I will join you in prayer. But don't bring it to me and ask me to pray for you. I'll pray with you, but not for you, because if it's not serious enough, number one, for you to pray about, why are you asking me to take my time to pray about it? And besides that, I don't want to build within your mind a Catholic false doctrine that your preacher's supposed to be the one that's the mediator between God and man. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Okay, I was looking at my hand this morning. I actually poked it when I was moving some stuff in the house. I promise you that's not a nail print, all right? All right. No nail prints in these hands. There's only one person. There's one right. You know what? God wants to hear your prayer. He wants you to come to him. And you know what? He's made a way for us to get directly to him. And remember when Jesus said, "It is finished"? And that veil between, the holy and holies, that veil that protected and covered the holy and holy, it ripped, folks. Did it rip from the bottom to the top? All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable. Did it rip from the bottom to the top? No, it ripped from the top to the bottom. See, no man could rip that. Only God could rip that. That was that's the Holy of Holies. Nobody could come in there except the high priest after he makes an offering and a blood sacrifice for his sin. And by the way, Jesus didn't have to do that because he had no sin. When he died for our sin. That's why there was only one offering. Okay, so here's the perfect Son of God, dies on the cross, and now he comes and he said, "It is finished," and the veil between the temple, between the holy and holies, was ripped from top to bottom, and God just ripped it open and said, "Come on in." Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I've got access. I want to thank God this Christmas season. I want to say thank God that he hears my prayer. Let me give you the last thought. In Luke chapter 17, we'll have you go to one more scripture here. Luke chapter 17. What did Jesus teach us about thankfulness? Well, he taught us that we ought to pause and give thanks for our food. Hey, you know what? If you come from a home where that's not normal practice, let me say this, young people. It wouldn't hurt at all for you tonight, this afternoon, and when you sit down for lunch or you sit down for supper later on with your family. And by the way, I'm not talking about bossing mom or bossing dad. The Bible preaches against that. You're to be obedient to your parents. But you might be surprised if you did it in a sweet spirit, in a right spirit. If you just, before everybody started eating, just look at mom and dad and say, "Mom, dad, can I ask you something? Would it be okay if I prayed for the food and thanked the Lord for it before we ate?" I'll bet, listen, you want to see your mama saved? You want to see your daddy saved? Come on now. We don't usually do this. Well, you can start a new tradition. And by the way, I'm not talking about a smart aleck attitude. I'm not talking about rebuking. Well, the preacher says you guys are wrong. Don't you take that spirit into your family. God can't bless that spirit. I'm talking about with a sweetness and a humility. Just say, Mom, Dad, I know we don't usually do this, but I'd like to know, would you let me lead us in prayer and just thank the Lord for our food? And by the way, you know what? That might work on your daddy's heart. That may work on your mom's heart. They might end up coming to church with you one of these days. They may end up getting saved. If they see a change like that in you, we ought to pause and give thanks for our food. We ought to pause and give thanks for Christ's suffering and death on the cross. We ought to be thankful that God hears our prayers. And the last thing we're going to cover this morning, we ought to return and give thanks for every answered prayer. Now, thank the Lord for hearing your prayers. Then present your petition. But we ought to return and give thanks after every answered prayer. Luke chapter number 17, verse number 11. Luke 17, 11. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet. Here it is, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. Jesus answering him, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto them, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, here's the thing, folks. Listen, if God's going to make it available for us to come in and pray, let's thank him for that opportunity. And then we present our request and ask the Lord. And then you know what? If God answers our prayer, shame on us if we don't go back and say, thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer. We invite folks to send prayer requests, and we do. That you can fill one out at the back there. And you know what? I like that there's not just prayer request forms, there's praise report forms. And you know what, folks? I think at the end of the year, there ought to be the same size stack of prayer requests as forms as there are praise reports. How about that? And you think about that. And you know what? We're real good about asking God for something. And then we even get the answer. Amen. Boy, did you hear? Our prayer was answered. Did you go back and say thank you? 10 lepers all asked God for the same thing. As they were going to the high priest to present themselves, they looked down, the leprosy disappeared, and one of them turned around and ran back and said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We ought to return and give thanks for every single answer to prayer. I was listening to an evangelist preach, and I'm going to leave you with this thought, okay, and we're done, but stay with me. I want to give you this. He said this, and man, it spoke to my heart. I got under conviction. But he said this. He said, by midnight, let's just couch it this way for our sake. If God decided, okay, midnight Thanksgiving Day. Okay, so we're talking, what day this week's Thanksgiving? Thursday at midnight. Let's suppose that the God of the universe decided that Thursday at midnight, God was going to take away everything and everybody that we have not thanked him for one time in our lives. Everything and everybody. What if God in the universe, and by the way, he might be just to do it, just said, you know what? If they're not thankful for it, then they're not deserving of it. I mean, let's just suppose that the Lord decided to do that. I'm talking about now, it's Sunday, it's 10 till 12, and we've got till midnight Thursday, and God says, all right, I'll tell you what, you bunch of ingrates. Everything that you've never said thank you for, I'm taking from you. Well, I'm just going to tell you this. I would move oxygen like way up at the top of the list. You kind of need it. You say, preacher, thank God for oxygen. The Bible says, in everything give thanks. Now, I'm trying to stir something in you. Stay with me. I do this with the Lord every year at Thanksgiving. The Sunday before Thanksgiving, I begin to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, reveal some things to me that I've never thanked you for. reveal some things to me that I've never thanked you. I mean, good night, I'm 55 years of age. And not one time, by the way, one year he told me, oxygen. And I'm like, I've never thanked God for oxygen. By the way, Lord, thank you for oxygen. Hey, how about let's all do that? I mean, think about this. You say, what could motivate me? All right, here's how you can be motivated. Let's suppose at midnight on Thursday night, everything was taken away you've never said thank you for. I mean, come on, husbands. When's the last time you said thank the Lord for your wife? Wives thanking the Lord for your husband. Children, listen, you're real good at whining about mom and dad and sitting back, teenagers nitpicking about their supposed faults. When's the last time you just thank God for them? Thank God for your brother. Thank God for your sister. No, preacher, if I don't, they'll disappear. Don't do that. Don't do that. You'll miss them eventually. It'll take a while, but you will. So many things we take for granted. What a good thing to do. What a good thing to just ponder. Rest of today, Monday. Lord, what is it? I think you'll be shocked at some of the things that the Lord brings to your mind. As you're going through the day on Monday, what if I didn't have that? What if they were gone? What if this was gone? I've never said thank you for that. One year the Lord told me this, you never thanked me for a memory. And I got thinking, what would life be like if you didn't have a memory? And by the way, you know what? There's people. Come on now. Some of you have watched loved ones suffer from Alzheimer's. Okay. A lot of us in this room have some timers. And one of the saddest things you'll ever see in your life is to walk up to somebody who can't remember. And I got convicted about that. I thought, I've never thanked the Lord for my memory. Of all the things that I think about and remember and laugh about, what if I couldn't remember them? It's going to be different with me than it is with you, but there's something. There's something. There's something that we're not thankful for. There's something we've never, preacher, but I think I'm thankful in my heart for it. I may never have said it. Well, maybe those nine were thankful in their heart. Did that count? You know what counted in God's eyes? The one that took the time to come back and say, thank you. Don't hide behind that. Well, I'm thankful in my heart. Well, you know what? If you don't verbalize it, it don't count. Okay. Well, let's spend this week. You know what I feel like we could have this week? A thankfulness revival at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thankfulness revival. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's wonderful to read about your Son and all that he teaches us. And dear Jesus, thank you that while you were here on this earth, you gave us several lessons about being thankful. And Lord, here we are entering into a week, Lord, where we certainly ought to spend extra time doing this. So help us, because we need your help. Remind us. Lord, bring to our memory and thoughts. Lord, may we spend a week. Lord, I believe it has the potential to cause a revival if we spend a week actually thinking about what do I need to be thankful for. Oh, it could change so many things in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would assist us in this. And Lord, we spoke just a little bit about Calvary, and we spoke a little bit about you allowing your body to be broken. No bone was broken, but your body was broken. And Lord, you allowed your blood to be shed, and you did that because, Lord, we needed a perfect sacrifice. You died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And if there's somebody here this morning that's never received you as personal Savior, they can't look back and thank you for being saved, for their salvation. Well, Lord, they could even now this morning, Lord, they could be saved this morning. So I pray, Lord, that you would work in all of our hearts. And Lord, if there's someone here without Jesus as their Savior, Lord, that you'd bring them under conviction of sin and help them to be saved. Lord, if there's things that you need to work in our hearts about, Lord, in this matter of thankfulness, Lord, I pray that this would be just a good day, a good reset button set in our life. We pray these things in Jesus' name.